You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live at Drift Bar in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. Drink specials, happy hour until 8. Swing on by, say hello. Can't make it out today? Well, this is the official LSU alumni watch party every Saturday. Not a bad spot to hang out on a Saturday. Biggest TVs, two biggest screens in the Heights, 250-inch screen on the south patio. It's dog-friendly. Great place to watch NFL on Sunday as well. Any NFL game you want. Drift has them all. They carry they'll show the Texans, too. Not this week, though, because they're on the bye. All right, it's time now for everybody's favorite segment, everybody's favorite game. Who said it? We listened
Loved
to five
it.
Different quotes.
Make my weekend, baby.
From ESPN 97.5 personalities, and the Killer Bees have to guess who said it. John Belmer, who I didn't realize it was Belmer until, like, yesterday. I thought it was Belmer with an N. I just realized it was Belmer with an M. So sorry about that, John. Sorry about it.
I didn't even realize you were saying it wrong.
I appreciate it. It's something that I'd like to be honest and transparent with
our
listeners.
It never happens with Jeremy.
Yeah, I thought it was, for some reason, I thought it was an M, not an N, but now I know. All right, John, get us started. What is quote number one?
All right, quote number one is, we can buy people as long as they're playing sports.
Can buy people as long as they're playing sports.
Sounds racist to me.
Which would mean Granato, right?
You think that's a Granato one?
No, I don't. I just think when you say racist, you know, it's a possibility.
Oh, shots fired.
No. By the way, Paulie got killed on a call on the bench today.
Paulie did? What happened?
Yeah, that he called up and he had a real issue with, what was it, Sean? Fromber. Yeah, he had a real issue with the Seattle love and the Mariner love and
really?
As it relates to the series and everything else.
Wow.
You got any initial thoughts on this one? This one's kind of generic.
I feel like this would be either BK, Paul, or anybody on the bench. I'm like down to those four.
Okay.
So those are usually the four I'm
now, what
on.
Would it relate to in your mind?
It's got to be a player.
But I'm saying, like, because it would be meaningful in terms of the context of the conversation. I really don't have a feel
maybe
for this
contract.
One.
Maybe
yeah,
like
I don't
that.
Have a feel for this one. So I mean, this is scary for me. But I'm going to let you talk it through more than me because this is one that I don't really have a true feel for.
I feel like you need to have a certain amount of confidence to say this
okay.
that you can buy a player as long as it comes down to sports. So I feel like if you need a certain level of confidence to do it, I feel like it has to be from the bench.
Okay.
Now I can't decide which one of the benchmen I'm willing to go here. I don't know if it's a Granato thing or if it's a Lance thing. So I whittled it down for you. Got it down
Lance.
To two. You want to go Lance?
Lance.
All right, let's go. Let's go Lance, John.
We can buy people as long as they're playing sports.
Oh, it was the wrong one.
Oh. You were close.
Right.
You were close.
Again,
we were
gut
close.
Feeling right
we
from the
close.
Jump, and I drilled it, and
you
then
did.
I went away from it. Every week I do
I
this.
I feel like our rationale was great getting there, too. Like, I felt like everything was on point to get to one of the benchmen, but we had the wrong benchmen. We should have known it was the godfather of them all. All right, let's try and see if we can respond here. Rebound. What's the second one here?
All right, quote number two. Someone might rob me at any moment. I do look like a soy boy, very easy to corner and steal from.
A soy boy.
Well, that's one of two to me.
This, again, sounds racist. This is the theme of the who said it today.
Is a soy boy like someone that's overly skinny and like... Yeah, I think it's either BK or Paul. I think it's either BK or Paul. Right off the top, that's how I narrow it down.
I feel like Paul's a little bit more – I feel like Paul thinks he would probably be able to fight himself out of a corner.
Oh, there's no doubt he does.
So I don't know if Paul would be willing to say that, right?
Yeah, he would. He basically calls out his what people think about his sexuality is all the time. He's not – I mean, he's obviously going to dispel that with all of his machismo
and
his dating and you know, all this other stuff and the fact that he can pull off a speedy Mario Ellie jersey. But at the same time, he's self-deprecating.
That's a relative term, pulling off. I think, which way do you lean, Paul or BK?
Who would use the term is more likely what I'm focused on.
Can you say it one more time,
Soy
Belmer?
Boy.
Yeah, so the quote is, someone might rob me at any moment. I do look like a soy boy, very easy to corner and steal from.
Oh,
Paul got
Paul
stolen
with the cell phone.
From this week.
Paul with the cell phone.
He got
Boom.
Stolen from
right
this week.
Right there.
Yeah,
Boom.
I think it's yeah. Let's go, Paul.
Nail it.
Let's go,
Lock
Paul
it
Belmer.
In. Final answer.
It's gonna be BK.
Someone might rob me at any moment.
Okay, good.
I do
good.
Look like a soy boy. Very easy to corner and steal from.
Yeah,
I've never heard
good
that term.
On that one.
Have y'all heard that term, soy boy?
I haven't. That's why I had to ask my experts like BMAC here to tell me what a soy boy was. But yeah, as long as I was on the right path, and then you nailed it. That's when we think it through by talking it through. That was beautiful. That was well executed.
One for two, and one was very close.
Teamwork was good there.
Let's go to number three here, Belmer.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, quote number three.
We never get that from Brendan.
Quote number three. I could sue Panda Express for not serving panda meat.
I feel like this is a wheelhouse.
I feel like this should have been you because you eat there so much. But
I haven't eaten there in a while, although I did look up their menu today, see what certain things have in terms of the nutritional table.
Anyways, this is wheelhouse?
Yeah, I feel like this is wheelhouse.
Why would you feel that way as we talk this through?
They talk about quirky things. Like, the bench is too, like, elitist to eat at Panda Express, let's be honest.
That's pretty true.
Paul eats really healthy. So I don't – like, Paul makes his own, like, turkey pea carrot mix that he eats every day for lunch. So I don't think he's a Panda Express kind of guy. I am, but it's not us. It's not –
turkeys pee on carrots for Paul? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he eats that every day for lunch.
Oh, yeah, boy.
He eats that every day for lunch. At least
protein?
He used to. I don't know if he still does.
Sounds acidic.
Paul's in good shape. Yeah. Paul doesn't look like he's a Panda Express kind of guy.
No, he looks like he's a wrestler at 112.
Jake only eats at Chipotle. So I think that rules true. Jake out because he only eats at Chipotle. I think it's down to Stutes and BK. And okay. BK, we call him a skinny fat ass all the time. Cody, we just dropped the skinny.
Oh, you talk about shots fired. Don't you bring your mess to me anymore,
damn,
sir.
So
message has been sent.
I think this is
yikes.
I think this is BK. I think this is BK.
Plus, okay, Jeremy.
Plus,
okay.
Plus
okay. Here's what I'm going to do as your buddy and your teammate. I'm going to say, if you feel that way, I'm going with you now on this one.
Do you have a lean on Cody or BK?
Give it to me one more time, John.
All right. It is, I could sue Panda Express for not serving panda meat.
And you think it's BK?
I think it's BK.
I think it's a little bit kind of like that salt that's in the way it's delivered. I think it's BK.
I think it's BK. Let's go BK, Belmer.
All right.
I could sue Panda Express for not serving panda meat.
Two out of three. Look at
us
again.
That's a good start. It's a good start. Let's aim to get three, though. So we got a couple here in the hand. We can go one for two here and get our three.
Yep.
Give us quote number four, Belmer.
I got to make these harder next time.
John, you shut your mouth or we're going to – otherwise I was going to say you're hired, Brendan's fired. Now you just watch yourself, pal.
Oh, damn. All right, quote number four. If you make salsa somewhere other than Texas, bad things will happen.
Well, Jake's out.
New York City.
Yeah, Jake's out with the New York City right away. Out. Could this be a Creighton?
He's from New York, though.
Right, but he's really kind of claimed Texas now.
How many times was he on this week?
That's a good call.
I feel like the math always kind of works against
this
him.
I feel like this screams, I'm going to use the way you break it down. This screams to me, Cody or the bench.
Yeah.
If Cody is a very big sauce guy and a big condiment. I had to make sure I said that correctly. A big condiment guy.
I mean, there's nothing inaccurate with this take.
No, like, at all. I'm not talking about the take. I'm not analyzing the take itself. I'm trying to figure out who the hell said it.
You know, Lance can be kind of foodie.
Oh, kinda.
Lance can be kind of foodie here.
I mean, Mr. River Oaks chefs that I hang with when I send wine and foo-foo food to people. Lance could definitely be in this mix.
I feel like it's either Lance or Stutes, and I'm kind of leaning Lance.
Well, I think we've narrowed it down to the right two, but here we go. Last time, I didn't trust my gut. Now I'm going to trust the gut that I'm going to go
Do
with.
Do you have a gut here?
No, you.
You don't have a gut feeling
no,
here?
I'm going to trust what you think.
Let's go with LZ, Belmer.
You make salsa somewhere
Ooh.
Other than Texas, and some
wow.
bad
Let's
things
go.
Will happen.
Man,
this might be my best performance
today.
I've ever had.
That's what I'm saying. I deferred
this
it. It came out with me winning this. I love this.
This might be the best performance I've ever had in Who Said It history. You know what I think I have to credit for this?
Me?
The disappearance of Brendan Riley.
Oh,
I think he brings me down. I think he brings me down as the producer of the show. I think I'm at my best. I think Branham's at his best when Brendan's not around.
I was rolling with for the BZ Money segment as well.
Yeah.
Leaning that way.
Right.
Now, based on this, especially if we tie as a team our best performance ever with getting this last one right, I think Brendan's now going to be producing late hits.
Our puppeteer has been holding back the Killer Bees.
Yep.
I really think so. All right, Belmer, quote number five.
Quote number five. Do you think Bob Costas calling the game was a little horny?
Horny?
The answer is yes.
Corny or horny?
No, horny with an H.
Well, we know that, like, Jake has a man crush like forever and a day on Bob Costas.
Yeah, but I don't think he would. I don't think like that sentence is
someone
kind of
said it about his love for Bob Costas in my mind.
Oh, I can see that because that sentence is kind of a put down to Bob Costas. Jake wouldn't speak poorly of the greatness that is.
He
Bob
idolizes
Costas.
Him. Neither one of them can ride a roller coaster to this day. I think someone said it about Jake's love for Bob Costas. So yeah. That narrows it down to two. We've already
I can see Paul saying this too, though.
But why would Paul say that it's horny?
Because, I mean...
He's talking to himself and Sean. I don't think he's going to tell Sean that it would be horny.
I don't know, man. That's kind of something Paul would say. Like, Paul goes
all right,
everywhere.
Here's where we disagree and screw this whole thing up. All right,
I mean, we've already got three. We're kind of playing a house.
Yeah, but
here.
I'd like to see us match our best effort as a team.
Okay.
So you think it's Paul?
I don't think it's Paul, but I don't think we should be eliminating him from the conversation.
I won't eliminate it, but I'll ask you to consider again the fact that if anybody during our whole lineup idolizes Bob Costas, it's Jake, so therefore it seems like it would be on the show.
You know, Creighton. This could be a Creighton thing because he hates the Yankees.
But then horny out of for Creighton?
I don't put anything past Creighton.
True.
Which of the two wheelhouse men will be the one that said that about Jake?
Cody, because we haven't used him yet.
You think that Cody has that in his vernacular? Like, does that sound like a Cody sentence?
Yeah, because I think as the show's gone on with the wheelhouse, he's gotten more comfortable with kind of loading up those type comments to get in with
kind of jab.
Yeah,
Jake.
Get jab Jake.
Well, I think he
jabs Jake a lot
and more than BK.
Yes.
Okay. You want to go Cody?
Let's go Cody.
All right, let's go Cody Belmer.
Do you think Bob Costas calling the game was a little horny?
Wow.
So close.
We had the guy.
Wow. So close.
That's a plot twist. I did not see that coming
at
all.
Yeah, he idolizes him so much, I didn't think that he would actually say it because we all know how he loves him.
We ruled out Jake right away. He used to intern for Bob Costas at the Olympics. What Olympics was
that? Don't let us tell you. Just ask him.
Yeah. Man, I'm surprised that Jake is putting down the legendary idol of Jake Asman and Bob Costas.
He's trying to change.
I am stunned.
He's trying to change his reputation in Houston, which he can't do.
I'm shook, man. I'm really shook that he said that about Bob Costas.
We still won the weekend. I can have a good weekend.
Yeah, we were 3-for-5. We did very good. Astros are up 2-0. Is Scott Servais delusional? Skiller Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Guys, before we get any further into the show, I want to tell you about the good people at Vivia Rentals, because Vivia takes care of the stuff that you forget to take care of. You're doing a lot of spring cleaning right now, cleaning out the garage, you're cleaning out the attic, but you know what you didn't think about? For as good as you're going to make everything look, what are you going to do with the stuff you're getting rid of and trying to get away from you? Well, that's why you go to Vivia, because Vivia comes to you and they do what they do. A 10-yard or a 15-yard roll-off dumpster, they'll drop it off in the morning, they'll even pick it up in the afternoon or at night. And they'll make sure that everything is spick and span. Your driveway looks good. Your HOA doesn't get on your rear end. And you're doing what you need to do to take care of getting rid of the waste while you make the improvements that make everything hunky-dory. If you are a business in town and you need, or a project manager and you need a dumpster, you can go to Vivia too. Do the same things that I just did for you said about your house. They'll do it at your project as well. Drop it off in the morning. Pick it up at night. Bring it back if you need it the next day. Check them out and tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5. We use them at our golf tournament. And you know what? Like Texas Custom Patios, trust Vivia, you will too. Use them once, you'll use them again. Check them out right now. That's govavia.com. That's govavia.com.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live from Drift in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. A lot of folks out here already. They opened up early for us. They usually don't open until 4 o'clock when happy hour begins until 8. Wheelhouse will be here at 3. They'll be here until 7. Swing on by. Enjoy all of the drink specials. 97.5 beer bucket special, one amongst many. 5 domestic beers for $20 during the broadcast. Come on Sundays. Watch any NFL game that you want. Texans won't be in action on Sunday. They have TVs wall-to-wall. They have a 250-inch screen on the south patio. That's one of the two biggest screens in the Heights. Dog-friendly place. Also, Drift is the LSU Houston headquarters this college football season. The official LSU alumni watch party every single Saturday. I don't know who LSU is playing this week. Daywon Donna might know. LSU in action against Florida tomorrow.
Ooh,
they play
one
at 6 o'clock. So if you're looking for a place to watch the LSU game, they take on the Gators in the Swamp tomorrow evening. If you're looking for a place to watch it, there is no better spot to watch LSU football than Drift, the official LSU alumni watch party every Saturday.
I mean, if you are one of those people that like to support LSU and love the Tigers, then this is the place you should be. I mean, you should. If you need any further motivation than that, the fact that Drift Bar is absolutely beautiful, and inside and outside it's clean, tons of TVs, and the people watching is extraordinary.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of this place whenever they have the LSU watch parties, and it is, I mean, wall to wall, purple and gold. They're playing neck. They're doing the whole thing. So if you're an LSU Tiger, this is a spot that you want to watch some LSU football.
Is that what they're playing neck? Is that what they do before they create little Tigers?
I think officially they banned it. Didn't they officially ban it from playing it inside of Tiger Stadium, which is funny because every other school plays it. But they officially banned it from LSU. But a lot of folks still play it, just not in the stadium. Scott Servais, manager of Seattle, is he delusional? Here was Scott Servais after the game yesterday, after he fell behind 2-0. He said, look, series flipping over to Seattle. We're all right.
I think from his perspective, he's got to say what he's got to say to keep his locker room and his fan base dialed in this game.
I agree with that.
He needs a raucous crowd. He needs his team to you know, not give an inch and still believe they can win the series. But obviously, it's an uphill battle.
I think you're right about that. Like, you have to say certain things through the media that still gives the team belief. Because, I mean, you look, what other option do you have? You're not going to be like, throw in the white towel, we're going to lose this series. Listening to him at his press conferences, though, he's kind of – he, like, chuckles at everything. Like, it's really bizarre. It's weird to me.
He has this tough persona otherwise, the way he tries to go at, you know, dot guys and go at guys and be the first one to kind of – you know, throw the punch or make the move. And then you're right. He does seem a little like a schoolgirl giddy when he gets to the press conference.
I'm not going to lie to you, Blanger. It bothers me. Like, he has the mentality.
It would bother me more if they were winning and he was doing it.
It wouldn't bother me if he's not the tough guy in the dugout where he's like, I'm going to throw at everybody, but, oh, what did I do? And then he's laughing in the press conference. I think it's fake. I think one of the two comes across as fake, and I hate that. If you're going to be the tough dude that throws at dudes, be the tough dude 100% of the time.
Takes the bullet and says, you know what, we need to play better. And,
be the hard ass. If that's who you're going to be that dude. Here was Servais yesterday after the game saying, we're going to Seattle, we'll be all right.
You know, this game's a game of inches. They had a few things go their way today, and that happens. We did not. My bet is it'll probably flip when we go to Seattle. But that's just, you have to find a way to grind through that and still, you know, figure out a way to win those games. It didn't happen today, but we have played very good baseball. I do know how hard it is to win on the road, and it'll be very hard for them to win in Seattle. I will tell you that, because I know what it's going to be like when our crowd gets going on Saturday night, or Saturday afternoon, I guess.
You know, messages are sent in a multitude of ways, and I think he just tried to send a message to his team, to his fan base, and to make sure that management knows that he still believes they can win this series. But basically all he's doing is trying to set the precursor to try and encourage people, hey, make sure you're there. It's instead of just coming out and saying, hey, come early, stay late, cheer loud, he basically tried to motivate his team and the crowd the same way. So go team, Scott. I mean, you said what you had to say, but you know what you got to do? Put your money where your mouth is and make sure you do it on the field.
I think you're right about it. He had to say what he has to say. Like, you got to be able to still instill belief in your team. Hey, we're going to Seattle. We can find ways to win two games. Because, look, if I'm Scott Servais, hey, we're going back to Seattle. We still got George Kirby, who at times this year was our best pitcher until we got Luis Castillo at the trade deadline. We believe in Luis Castillo. We still have Logan Gilbert on full rest in Game 4, who outpitched Justin Verlander, the Cy Young. We're going to have the home field advantage. And look, if we can win those two games in Seattle with George Kirby, with Logan Gilbert, with the home field advantage, they call their football team, the Seahawks fan base, the 12th man.
Yep.
So with that behind you, hey, look, we win those two games. We get it back to Houston. Anything can happen in a Game 5. We're going to throw Luis Castillo back out there on 3 days rest. That is the rallying cry. That is the rallying cry for Servais. So I really don't blame him.
No, he said what he has to say. And as the manager, when you're protecting your ass and also trying to put your team in the right position, then you have to say that. You're right. And that's the way it goes. But I don't think that I lose any sleep over that. I don't think that the Astros are going to be intimidated by that. I don't think anything changes from a Houston perspective going to Seattle. They've been there and done that before when Seattle supposedly had their World Series, you know, playing them in the regular season. They know it's going to be loud. Guess what? He shouldn't have had to send that message to the fans, because after 20 years, they should be already lined up at the gates trying to get in there as soon as possible because they want to experience that again. But that's nothing that the Astros have to worry about. The Astros just take care of their business by doing what they've done for the first two games and in clutch moments and in big pressure-cooked situations, just continue to be that experienced, steady force. You'll be just fine.
And Captain Obvious here, but you don't want this series to come back to Houston. Like,
no.
Go take care of business for multiple reasons. You know, you don't want a game five where it's, you know, back against the wall, do or die. Also, this year's playoff schedule, where the ALCS is seven games over 8 days, you want to be in a position where you can set up your pitching as best as you possibly can. It kind of gives you a leg up if the other series goes deep. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the Yankees-Guardians series, but Go keep your foot on the neck of the snake. Go keep your foot on the throat.
That's what I've been harping on, you know, even all show today, is the fact that once you've got them down, make sure that you get them out. Just finish the deal right now. Finish them. Don't let them get off the canvas. And make sure you handle your business and then worry about what – let the other two teams worry about what they're doing. Seattle is doing everything that they can to try and keep a pulse going right now and stay on life support. So you're not going to do anything to worry about them. You're not going to do anything to help them. You're just going to show up, put your uniform on, and do what you did in the first two games. Take care of your business.
On Twitch, you had somebody saying how the Seattle fan base is all of a sudden taking a little bit of a switch here. Prestige Worldwide, Mariners Twitter has seemingly and I've seen this too. Mariners Twitter has seemingly shifted in attitude to accepting defeat and expecting a sweep, just where the actual Mariners wants everyone. Like, I have seen a lot of happy to be there. Like, no one expected us to win anyways.
They definitely downshifted quickly and hit the clutch because you could tell it was like, we're going to show them and Houston were your problem, to, hey, we're going to show you what a real playoff environment really is. We're going to come out full force. We're going to be loud. And we're going to show you that we support our team. Well, good. Support them while you're sitting on your couch like the rest of your baseball team if the Astros do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Just Way Jay, who is our resident Bengal fan, he just tweeted at us. He said, to be honest, LSU stole Neck. I didn't know this story. LSU stole Neck from the university across town, got called out on it, and shut down. Apparently Southern started Neck.
Wow.
Every single band in America plays that song. We play it over at U of H games all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be a little crude at times.
All right.
If you have a little, you know, some kids around you, maybe don't bring them around with the, you know, the lyrics.
I mean, it's just
song.
Crazy to me because LSU fans have been known to be a little crude at times, that they're going to be the ones that are going to be hoity-toity and ban it now.
Who invented Neck?
Donna.
713-780-ESPN.
Yes, Donna, I'm
ESPN.
Looking at you.
713-780-3776. We didn't have a chance to do this yesterday. Thursdays at 2 is whenever we have Bad Take Boulevard.
Yeah.
We were on the website yesterday at 2. So we're going to spend a little time coming up next with Bad Take Boulevard. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I can tell you what I'm going to be doing tonight. It's a little gentle bin. I like a good drink at the end of the day, especially a Friday. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me and a local Texas brand. Gentle Bend Spirits does it better, and they do it better than anyone else. Gentle Bend's a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative, Posado craft technology. It's better in purity. It's better in aroma. And it's better, in, more importantly, in taste than anything else. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M class of 85, by the way, had me out to that tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. It is so smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. Also online at gentlebend.com. If you're in the Pearland area on your way home, stop by Broadway Liquor. They carry it. Also head to that tasting room in Alvin to try that bourbon. Really good 94-proof bourbon, winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year. That's exclusive to the tasting room in Alvin. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Bend.
ESPN 97.5. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Killer Bees live at Drift Bar. We'll be here for another half an hour. Wheelhouse will take over after us. You got to come down here. It's a great spot. Great afternoon to hang out. Great place to watch some ball. Can't make it out today. LSU football tomorrow evening. Can't make it out tomorrow. NFL Sunday on Sunday. All right, Bad Take Boulevard. We didn't have a chance to do this yesterday. because we were on the website stream with the Astros, a little Manning cast for the Astros and yeah. Mariners game two. How many you got this week? I know you got one big one, but I'm curious how many you got. How we want to space this out here?
I mean, I could do multiples for the same person, actually. But
okay, let's
I
do
don't,
that. Let's go.
No,
let's go.
You
item
like
by item.
That. I know you like to stir the pot like that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
why wouldn't
but
I like
you start
that?
Us. Go ahead.
No, I want you to start us.
No, because I
this
gotta,
is the one I've been really wanting to get to.
The one that I
no,
have
for
on
real.
There.
I'm being sincere.
All right. Did you? I have to bring it back. You got it in front of you?
I do.
Okay, read it for me.
Do you want me to say?
Don't
the name?
Say who's that. I'm going to do what Jeremy does. This is someone local who really, really wants to be an important media member that drives me nuts. But please read the series of tweets.
All right.
As they were.
All right. They're that person.
Yes.
Saying the media needs to be held accountable for bad takes. And because there isn't enough of a penalty for being wrong, they keep doing it. Modern media in a nutshell. For one thing, readers actually remembering and holding the person accountable when the prediction inevitably goes wrong as opposed to forgetting about it. That's bullet point one.
You can keep going. We'll get back to it. But let me just say, as it stated right there.
So you don't want me to keep going.
Well, go ahead, finish it. Go ahead, finish it. Because management is here for us. Because I want everybody. This is crazy. Go ahead.
Okay. Second, at some point, the employing organization should ask whether making such a declarative call about a 20-year-old who hasn't even started his second NBA season yet is necessary. There are so many ways you can lay out preliminary concerns while still hedging.
You are such a dumbass if you think that people that are paid to give their opinions as their profession should be punished, held accountable, and possibly let go because they don't always come to fruition. I have news for you, blogger steroid guy, the blogger on steroids guy, because definitely he's not on steroids.
I was about to say.
Yeah, he's the opposite of steroids. But if you think for like a half second that with 200-plus opinions that we give over the course of any given week that we should be punished if we miss on a few, that if we said Jalen Green isn't going to be the next Kobe Bryant, or we said he's going to be the next Kobe Bryant, he isn't, or if we were, God forbid, we said in this market, hey, Jalen Green might not be Kobe Bryant. He might be pretty good. He might not even be a superstar. Well, slap my wrist and take my paycheck. Are you kidding me? Stop with all that nonsense. It's ridiculous.
Could you imagine that world, though, where like you're on a like some sort of, I guess, grading system where your take ratio has to be a certain percentage or you lose your job?
Like,
could you imagine sports radio day to day on what that would sound like?
Like, seriously, like if they had the sports radio equivalent of the umpire zone the day after, where they could tell you, you know, you only got 82.3% of your takes right this week. That's going to cost you. Shut the hell up. That is the most ridiculous thing ever. This is also from the same source that said that, you know what? If a team challenges a play in baseball and it doesn't go their way, they should walk off the field, darn it. They should just call it. Walk off the
What's
field.
What's the problem with that?
Because it's stupid. And no one that has a competitive bone in their body would do that. God, it just annoys me, man.
Yeah.
Every time I see those things, I go, really? Do you have to go that far?
It annoys you?
Yeah, you think? Just a little.
I couldn't tell.
Do you agree with him or me?
I think it belongs firmly on bad.
Thank you very much.
It belongs firmly. Like
Stutes believes it does.
I think there's a line.
Don't you, Stutes?
I think there's a line here, Blankers. Like
Stutes got involved in this one.
I think there's a line, though. Oh, did he? I think there's a line. Like I think Skip Bayless crosses that line, though.
Oh,
like, I firmly believe that there is a line, but like it's one thing of like believing what you say and then just going so far to a certain like. Degree to where you're trying to draw.
Was it Pujols that sued the radio
likes.
Guys and won?
Yeah, I don't know if he won, but he definitely.
I think he won.
He sued him for slander for using. They said he used PEDs.
It's one thing to say something like that and go like to that level of pointing a finger to where it could literally be deeply offensive from a personal matter. But if you just say on your projections, I mean, Lance Zierlein should be in prison then because Lance Zierlein is going to swing and miss as much as going to hit it out of the park when he evaluates talent. You're telling me if he misses on a couple that he should be punished?
Well, how about this one? The Texans should sign Tim Tebow because he'd be a better quarterback than Davis Mills. Like, that's where I think there's a bit of a line. Like, that's going a little bit too far.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
how many people do we know that have, like, literally have never gotten hired for a media job, but have created a media persona by being a blogger or a Twitter expert that make those opinions all the time, but because it's all pro home team, everything should be forgotten and they should get a pass But we should be on notice with a microscope on us if we swing and miss on a few.
Yeah, I mean, it's about entertaining, right? More than like a hit rate. 713-780-ESPN. What else belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? I got to put myself on Bad Take Boulevard.
Oh, really?
And this goes to something that I was
Cody
saying
does
before
that for
the season
you.
Started, which, I mean, Cody's usually right whenever he says that.
Cody, he's on Bad Take Boulevard, right?
Kyler Murray being a top 10 quarterback. This belongs on Bad Take Boulevard. Kyler Murray has top 10 talent, but Kyler Murray has not played to top 10 caliber quarterback. And this is all about that final drive the other day. Whenever he – like, you have to have presence of mind of a quarterback to be able to orchestrate a game-winning drive. You have to be good enough to understand time management, all
slide.
Of those things. The slide I was okay with.
I wasn't.
I was all right with the slide. But
you got to know where to start that slide.
That's fine.
Or you go
and
head
look,
first.
I think that you could look at that as a negative, and that's fine. I think that was the third of three negatives in that sequence of plays. First off, outside of like 15 seconds, you should never be spiking the ball on first down because you need the down more than saving 3 seconds. Secondly, after the slide, you have to know that it's third down and one before you spike the football. Kyler Murray has a world of talent.
Uh-huh.
Kyler Murray is a top 10 talented quarterback in the entire world. I can make an argument that he's the best athlete in the world. How many dudes have been drafted
athlete
first?
Athlete in the world?
How many dudes have been drafted first round
it,
in two different sports? Name me them. Kyler Murray, that's it. That's current. That's active. Kyler Murray is one of the best athletes in the entire world.
One of the best? Yeah, I don't think he's the best.
I don't know. He might be. How many other athletes have two different
anyway,
sports?
As it relates to the conversation, here's the thing. I was the one that said I don't think he's top 10.
And I think
a lot of it also goes to the fact that he's still basically selling out his teammates on the field. And it's one thing to be critical if they didn't run the right play or he got mad at an A.J. Brown or a Zach Ertz, guys that have been there, done that, and he kind of didn't wait to the sidelines or in the locker room. He does it right in the middle of the field where everybody can see him. But it's another thing when if you're going to be critical of those guys for making those kind of mistakes in your mind, then you got to be critical of yourself because you screwed up. The big thing with the slide to me is just like the other elements you were bringing up, on the slide, you got to know where you got to go down and distance. Down and distance in the last 2 weeks has been so hyper important with Russell Wilson, with so many different people, where you got to know where you are in the Green Bay game in London. You got to know down and distance. Get the first down first, then go forward. You got to get that first down before you do anything else. The fact
sure.
that he started the slide, cost his team, and then they couldn't do what they wanted to do, then you got to look in the mirror and go, I got to stop doing it to others if I want forgiveness for what I just did to my team.
Three stupid plays in that sequence. Spiking it on first down, not knowing the down and distance, sliding
and
instead of
yep.
diving, and then spiking it on third and one.
Oh.
You're spiking it on third and one. That was ridiculous. All right, here's another one for Bad Take Boulevard. Quarterback position, NFL. Joe Flacco, a better option than Zach Wilson for the New York Jets.
Who said that?
I'd love to tell you.
Is it local?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then I understand you not saying it. Otherwise, I'd make you call it out. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Maybe 15 years ago when Zach Wilson was 12.
And Joe Flacco was in his prime. Because even Joe Flacco in his prime, I think a lot of people see the potential of Zach Wilson and go, But you know what? As the ultimate game manager and a little bit more to be able to have done what he did in his career, if you would have said that in his prime, at least that would have been worthy of a discussion. Right?
I think Joe Flacco in his prime better than Zach Wilson in his prime. That's not for debate.
No.
But right now,
we don't
today,
know when Zach Wilson's going to hit his prime.
2022, mid-October, that Joe Flacco is a better option for the quarterback position than Zach Wilson at 37 years old.
That's ridiculous.
Pretty bad one.
Yeah.
John Lucas had a little, I think it was a week, right, that Silas was away from the team.
That was almost like one of the best kept secrets in the world.
He was
like,
out for COVID.
Yeah, no, everybody kept looking, going, oh, Luke's coaching a game. Oh, wait, Luke's coaching another game.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, how long is Luke going to be coaching the games? Because this is a pretty important time for coaches. But, yeah, then it came out that Silas was obviously battling some health and safety protocol issues.
So he had a couple of doozies whenever he was the acting head coach, I guess. The first one was comparing Jabari Smith to David Robinson. Now, he said in demeanor, which, okay, fine. I can see that he has that quiet leadership type of demeanor. But how about this one? From John Lucas while he was the acting head coach. He was throwing out some pipe bombs, really. John Lucas on rookie Tari Eason. He is a prime example of a better Dennis Rodman.
Oh, stop it. Just stop right there.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Look,
Dennis
I love
Rodman,
Luke.
One of the best defensive players, rebounders in the history of the game.
Let me say what this was. This was exactly what we were just talking about as it relates to Scott Service. This was a coach pumping up his own guys to make them feel as good as they can possibly feel about themselves going into a season or a situation. That was just Luke using it as, you know, good fodder for a young kid trying to make a name for himself, because otherwise we know how ridiculous that is. But that's who Luke is. He's a hyper-positive motivator, and that's what Luke was doing, because I love Luke. He's a great dude.
Calling him Dennis Rodman, though.
That's funny.
I mean, is that?
Can I tell you something
else? It's a hot take. It's a bad take.
Can I tell you what Luke
was? And I love Eason.
The other night, what was funny, too, was Luke was roaming the sidelines in Miami, and there were two people that I think had been giving him the business a little bit near the bench.
Yeah.
On multiple occasions, he stopped right in front of them and made sure he kind of bent over and blocked their view for the plays. And knowing Luke the way I think he did it purposely, and I love it. It was great gamesmanship.
Yep. Somebody's texting us quarterbacks who were drafted in baseball. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson drafted in baseball. Jameis Winston was drafted in baseball. None of them were first rounders. Kyler Murray was a first round Major League Baseball draft pick. Nobody expected him to play in the NFL, and he was the first ever – he was a number one overall pick in the NFL. How many dudes have been drafted in the first round in the NFL and in Major League Baseball? Kyler Murray's a talented dude. He just hasn't played up to it. 713-780-ESPN. If you ever want to put something on Bad Take Boulevard, just let Brendan know about it. We'll do a little bit of chatting with the Wilhousemen. Their thoughts on Game 2 of the ALDS with the Astros taking a 2-0 lead in this series. Killer Bees live from Drift Bar in the Heights on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, we're in the middle of hurricane season. We got a little rain last night. It was actually a lot of rain in a short period of time. Maybe that did you in, or maybe you're worried about it doing you in at some point. That's why you go to Fitz Roofing, because if you go to Fitz Roofing right now, they're going to take care of you and make sure you're all taken care of before the heavy rains and all the bad weather hit again, and then it's too late. You make sure that if you've got a leaky roof or a problem, you want to maybe put a new roof on your business, your commercial establishment, or your house, you go to Fitz Roofing. Why? Well, start from starters. They'll come to you to tell you what they can do. It costs you absolutely nothing. Most people charge you $75 to $100 just to knock on your door and see what's going on. They don't charge you a thing, and they don't make sure that you have to rope it into whatever they do and getting the work done if you choose to go with that company. They just do it because they know they're the best at what they do, and they'll tell you exactly what needs to be done. Whether you go with them or somebody else, they're happy to help Houstonians. They got the best ratings in the business, use the best products in the business, starting with CertainTeed shingles, and they have the best warranties in the business, all the things that are the most important thing to you when you have an issue with your roof or otherwise. They also do tons of things with home improvements and home restoration, fences in your yard. Check out all the services they offer. Go to FITZroofing.com, but get that free no-obligation inspection if you got something going on or you think you want to see if your house is ready for hurricanes and or bad weather. Check them out right now. Call them 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
It's a Friday night, so Gentle Ben is in my near future. I haven't decided yet with the vodka, gin, the bourbon. I've had a lot of bourbon lately since I've been fighting this laryngitis. So I've had these Branham Hottie Toddies with their bourbon. So it might be a vodka night for me. I don't know yet, but I know that Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anybody else. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Prosecco craft technology. It's better in purity, better in aroma, better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand. You're going to taste a huge difference, and you won't go back. You'll be a Gentle Ben man forever. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through that drink. You can find Gentle Ben vodka and gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. If you're in the League City area, stop by Hills Liquor on South Shore. Pick up a little bit of Gentle Ben vodka and or gin. Also, head to that tasting room in Alvin. Try that bourbon. 94-proof bourbon, winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year. Exclusive to the tasting room in Alvin. Also, if you're looking for a place to host a private party, what better place than that Gentle Ben tasting room? Host the private party. Taste all the outstanding spirits. Head to gentleben.com to book that. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Ben.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Drift Bar, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Indeed, we are at Drift Bar in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. You got to head out here. The weather is beautiful. Baseball games are on. Yankees Guardians right now, tied at 2. I'm rooting for chaos. in that series.
I'm just rooting for Cleveland. That's it.
Yeah. I don't really care who wins it. I'm just rooting that it goes deep.
I would hope it goes five games. Yeah.
Chaos in that series.
Got to give the shout-out. Alex, Donna, Crystal Collins, all present and accounted for. Love to see the Hive alive.
Yeah. Head on out here. Will House will be here until 7 o'clock as well. Happy hour deals until 8 o'clock. Can't make it out today. Well, LSU, this is the official LSU alumni watch party every Saturday. Not a better place in town to watch some Tiger football. They take on the Gators tomorrow at 6. And then if you can't make it out tomorrow, how about some NFL Sunday? Great spot to watch it as well. Red Zone, Sunday ticket. They'll make sure they put it on any game that you want. Cody hanging out with us for the next couple of minutes. Cody, of course, will be here until 7 with the Wheelhouse. What did you think of Game 2 yesterday? Astros taking a commanding lead in the series, 2-0.
I would have had Alex Bregman try to beat me versus letting Yordan Alvarez beat me. I would have walked Yordan.
In the sixth.
I would have walked Yordan. I wouldn't have given him the opportunity to hit a go-ahead home run. I mean, what is Scott Servais doing? This guy's in a situation where he needs basically to manage a perfect game every time out to beat the Astros, and he's just mismanaged two straight games.
I think it's a lose-lose, though, right? Because he did do that in the eighth inning, and Bregman burned him.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Castillo pitching to Bregman with the lead instead of Yordan taking my best guy deep.
Yeah. Look, I agree with you. The question, like, so you just threw up the four, intentionally walk him before he even steps to the plate?
Yes.
That pitch was out of the zone. Like, they were pitching around Yordan. They didn't intentionally walk him, but they pitched around him.
Yeah, just, if you're going to pitch around him, how do you give him something, like how do you give him something belt high?
I mean, it was
hard
that far off the plate.
Yeah, but that's one of the most complete hitters in baseball. He can get to it. Yeah,
but
you know?
I think people are still figuring out how good he really is as a true hitter and not just a power guy. But I think that the other variable, because we don't know all the details and trying to give at least some benefit of the doubt to the Coon Valley, Wisconsin native, is the fact that you short of giving the four fingers, if you do want to give the non-intentional intentional walk, when you got a guy like Castillo on the mound, it's like if Dusty told JV to walk him. Unless, short of the umpire getting the four fingers, JV might say, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to get him anyway. And Castillo in the postgame basically said, I know he's good. I believe in my stuff, too.
Yeah.
I want to go get him.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like, yeah, I could see where you want to nibble maybe, and, okay, you get a strike or two, maybe you start to go after him. But that guy's, I mean, he's the best hitter in the Astros. How do you present yourself? I mean, because he rips your heart out again. How do you come back from it?
Right, like, because the other thing is you think about his early at-bat in game two. There was nobody on, and so he had a little bit more leeway, too. And Yordan chased two really bad out-of-the-strike-zone pitches, and so maybe he's thinking, hey, I'm remembering that. I can go do that again. But not in that situation with, like you said, if it doesn't go your way, there's a whole lot of egg on two guys' faces, and it's not a good look.
Especially after the bloop, you know? Like, it feels like, you know, I made a good pitch. Jeremy Pena ends up with a hit, so it's like, how do I – and what if I make a good pitch and Yordan puts it over the fence? Well, that's what happened.
I made the argument that he was still – boiling about that because his body language said he thought that should have been caught.
Yeah, I thought J-Rod was this all-world defensive center fielder. He couldn't get to that Jeremy Pena bloop.
I think J-Rod saw a guy coming at him and thought, I don't want to be out for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
A little bit of a defensive range there.
Uh-huh.
Like, Bregman's been good in this series, too. And I think that's why Bregman's such a key for the Astros for a deep playoff run. Because, look, like, pitching to Bregman, who is homered off your best reliever, hit a two-run shot in the eighth inning of Game 1, had the RBI single in the eighth to give you some insurance runs. I agree that that's the better alternative than pitching to Yordan Alvarez. It's not a great alternative. It's why it's kind of lose-lose. But that's why Bregman has to be good in the postseason. Because I agree that any sort of critical situation, I'd be shocked if Yordan sees anything to hit. If it's not just the put up the four, give him first base. If Bregman can come through in those situations after Yordan gets intentionally walked in critical situations, I think that it could mean a deep postseason run for the Astros.
I would anticipate that Boone and Tito, whoever you face in the next round, who've managed a tremendous amount of postseason baseball, I would anticipate that they're going to have a better plan for handling Yordan Alvarez and what he's allowed to hit and what type of pitchers you want to actually go at Yordan with or what type you want to pitch around Yordan. It very much felt like these first two games as a manager managing in the playoffs with this organization for the first time in 20 years. That's what it felt like with Servais.
Dusty obviously blows it up a little bit bigger than it really is, but I think when you start mentioning those managers and the type of situation, he will get more of a Barry Bonds treatment because he's proving to you that nationwide you don't want to be known as the guy that decided dumbly enough to keep pitching to Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, like it's one of those situations where we talk about this a lot with like NFL draft picks. Like, there's certain, like, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't work, who's crushing the Jaguars for Trevor Lawrence not working? Like, yeah, they might have handed it. What else were they supposed to do? That's what everybody would have done in that situation. Not everybody would have pitched to Yordan Alvarez in that situation. So, like, you made a risky decision. It backfired on you, and you have to live with it now. Whereas, like, it wasn't a no-doubter. Like, if you walk Yordan and Alex Bregman beats you, okay, the guy that's not as good as Yordan Alvarez beat you. People, you can live with that at the end of the day. That guy was better than my guy in that moment.
See, to that point, too, like, I get beat me once, right? But now beat me twice. And I didn't think he was going to see any more pitches, as I said to you yesterday, going forward after beating him and getting beaten game one.
What do you mean by that, though? Like, just they're going to walk him every critical situation intentionally?
No, not four fingers every time, but you're never going to give him anything in the zone to hit. Like, if he's dumb, not, I want to say dumb enough.
But the home run wasn't in the zone.
Right, but it, I'm saying more egregious, yeah, than just a baseball,
sure,
on the outside
swinging
edge. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, do you want to say that you lost to a better team, or you just lost to a better dude? Because right now you can make the argument that one dude is beating an entire team all by himself.
Yeah, that's what it feels like with Yordan out there, man.
Yeah,
just incredible.
And that's like the benefit of Bregman, though. That's why if, like, Bregman has a big October and a big playoff, it's a lose-lose situation.
That's where you don't want the guy in that situation that's the even-keeled guy that says, yeah, so what, and this, you know, I'm going to go about my business. You want the guy that's salty, that's bravado, that's ego, says, I'm going to show you up and I'm going to tell you about it, and my blood pressure is going to go up a little bit.
Because Yordan, yeah, they're losing to Yordan Alvarez, but Bregman hit the two-run homer in the eighth inning, gave Alvarez the chance.
Yeah. Yep.
He got him the insurance run yesterday in the eighth inning after they intentionally walked Yordan. Like, if you go to the sixth and the eighth inning yesterday for Scott Service, and you just kind of eliminate game one from memory right now, the two situations that we're talking about that are in question, he pitched to Yordan Alvarez in the sixth inning. Pitched is kind of like a relative term because he threw a pitch that was off the outside corner.
It's still
at his
belt,
hit the
though.
Home run.
Yeah.
It was at his belt, but it's off the outside corner. How many dudes in baseball are hitting pitches out of the zone for a home run?
That guy.
Maybe Yordan Alvarez, and that's it.
That's the argument
maybe
that
Judge,
I made.
Maybe Altuve hits some pitches that are up out of the zone. So I get that. But then in the eighth inning, he makes the decision to walk Yordan Alvarez, but the Astros scratch off an important insurance run, too.
Look, the Astros aren't winning the World Series unless Alex Bregman's a good baseball player.
I agree.
And I'm not talking about an average baseball player. I'm not talking about sometimes he's a good baseball player. Bregman's got to be good throughout this playoff run for them to win the World Series. Now, Bregman, and BK had the stats yesterday, dominant in the DSs. So, yes, Alex Bregman taking care of business. It's a DS. Let's see how he looks in the CS and the WS, because it hasn't looked that good for Bregman in his career.
Mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
You know, but the thing with that is, remember now, George Springer was just absolutely awful in a league championship series, and everybody wanted to move him down in the lineup and do all these drastic things, and then he was the World Series MVP. So he doesn't have to do it in every series. I think the good thing from an Astros fan perspective is Tucker with the first run on the board with a home run.
Yep.
Bregman has shown that he's continuing the way he finished the regular season. Yordan doing what he does, and Pena's coming on, and yet Altuve hasn't done a
there
damn thing yet. And you're like, so they haven't even reached their peak yet, and if they keep doing what they're doing, just 1-5, that's better than anybody in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you get Altuve going, these guys stay where they are, and you get a contribution here or there from somebody that's not those top five guys.
6-9, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be in a great spot.
Yeah, I think Pena's been big. Like, it's almost like Pena and Altuve have kind of traded bodies a little bit, where Altuve's hitless, has struggled a little bit offensively. You trust in him, you believe in him, and all of a sudden Jeremy Pena's the one that's having these big-time plate appearances, these big-time at-bats. I mean, both of Yordan's home runs, they don't happen in those situations if it's not for Jeremy Pena. Whether it's game one extending the inning with that 1-2 breaking ball up the middle that he lines into center field, and then yesterday in the sixth inning where he gets the little bloop single.
And a really good job by Pena after some really bad at-bats to have those good at-bats all in a row, too.
Yeah, what's coming up in the Wheelhouse today?
Todd Callis at 4:30. We'll talk to him. Joe Fortenbaugh at 6:15.
Oh, energy there.
All sorts of fantastic stuff throughout the course of the show. Astros, college football. I have a bone to pick with these college football people.
Sounds very good. We'll be listening, as should you, and you should also get out here to Drift Bar in the Heights. See the Wheelhouse. 1207 West 20th. A great time to spend this afternoon with the Wheelhouse. Thanks so much for Belmer doing all the hard work. BMAC Mapes out here today. For Blank, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!